Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and I want to give a shout out to Renaissance Bank real quickly before we get going. We're not in our normal spot inside Renaissance on Windward Parkway, but we're looking forward to getting back there soon. But folks, if you are tired of the big bank experience, and sometimes the big bank experience is even happening in smaller banks where, you know, they put everything on a 1-800 number or what have you, sadly. But Renaissance is a multi-billion dollar bank, and they've got 200 offices across the South ready to serve you. They're big enough to handle your needs, yet they answer their phone. So what an amazing concept. So just here's what you do. If you're interested, if you're tired, you want a better experience, and you want a bank that I recommend because I know them personally, go to renaissancebank.com, find your local office, call them, set up an appointment, and go see them. It's as simple as that, and you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Beth Armconnect Miller, and Beth is with Executive Velocity. Beth, welcome.
Well, thank you. I've been looking forward to this, John.
Me too. So for those that don't know you, and you're well known, but for those that don't know you, tell them a little bit about you and Executive Velocity. How are you helping folks out there?
Yeah, well, Executive Velocity, I started about 15 years ago and started it just about the same time I became a Vistage chair. And the work that I did with Vistage is similar to the work that I'm doing with Executive Velocity, and the fact that I work with small to mid-sized companies, and specifically Executive Velocity focuses on building those leadership pipelines so that companies have the leaders that can help them grow. Because without leaders, you aren't able to grow as fast as you'd like to. So it's understanding who you have now and how you can develop them into either a new leadership role or to get them into a higher performing leadership capacity in their current role.
I guess it's the old saying that the first thing you do as a leader is make sure that you've got leaders behind you to take your place, which is, it's hard hard for us to think that way. Right, Beth?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In fact, I see that a lot with business owners who have been running a company for a long time, and they might be getting ready to retire. But it's always 5 years out. It's always, you know, okay, I'll be retiring in 5 years. And the idea of, you know, identifying their successor can be very anxious for them because it's like, okay, so somebody's going to be taking my position. What do I do next? If I'm going to be retiring, you know, what does that look like? So it's probably even harder for the business owner than for a leader in an organization.
Yeah, their identity is tied up in the business.
Oh, yes.
And that's not just a leadership issue, right? I mean, that's kind of a self-identification issue, right? I mean, there's a lot of deep psychology in that.
Yes. I work with small businesses, helping them to create succession plans. And one of the first things that happens is I will spend a lot of time with that business owner to get them to create their future. Mm. What's the world going to look like for them after they step out of their position? And that could mean leaving the organization to the leaders in the organization that they've created, or it could mean that they're selling their business. But either way, they're not going to their persona that they've created over many, many years is going to have to shift.
Mm.
Yeah.
So let's get right here into it. I mean, because that, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Who knows whether we're at the beginning, middle, or end, but we're in one. And I think part of what I wonder about as I listen to you talk about your practice is I would imagine some leaders are thinking, you know, I'm doing good just to lead right now, much less develop leaders. Right. Yes. So how do you talk to folks about leading in a pandemic?
Yeah. So, well, the first thing is that they need to be caring for themselves. One of the things that I saw going into the pandemic was, everybody had to go home and leaders had to learn to lead in a virtual world where they weren't seeing their employees on a more regular basis. And one of the things that the really good leaders who have what I call high emotional intelligence is they realized that every individual, every employee that they had were in different situations and from a personal perspective. Mm. And so they were spending a lot of time with employee care, making sure that their employees, wherever they may be, were okay emotionally. How anxious were they? What kind of situations were they in? So they were connecting and building their relationships first and then focusing on the results. Mm. What were those things that needed to happen? But they started with how are you versus what are you doing? And because of that, they weren't taking care of themselves.
Mm.
Especially in the small businesses. I mean, your whole financial picture is generally wrapped up in your business. And these people were very, very stressed and they weren't taking care of themselves. So one of the first things that I started doing was working with these business owners to, you know, figure out how they could take care of themselves. Because if they're not caring for themselves, and if they're worn down both physically and emotionally, they can't care for others. It's the old adage of put the oxygen mask on first before you help others. Mm. Same thing here. So a lot of my coaching was around exploring how they individually could build time into their lives to take care of themselves. And oftentimes it was just, you know, 10 minutes. It wasn't, you know, hours. It was, you know, taking some breaks and, you know, taking a walk around the house, or it could be, you know, doing some meditation for 10 minutes, whatever worked for them. Others would like pick up new hobbies. Mm. For me, what I did was I took up sourdough bread making.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah. And what it did for me was it taught me patience, because it's not something that you can do in 2 hours.
Mm.
It takes, you know, 24 hours to do this. So it helped me to slow down. So it's figuring out what works for you. But the idea was to, for each of them to take some time out of their day that was specifically for them.
Folks, we're here chatting with Beth Armconnect Miller, and she is with Executive Velocity. Beth, I guess for every person, it's a little different, as you mentioned, in terms of taking care of themselves, but this is not what we grew up believing, right? I mean, or what we've been taught, particularly if we've come out of corporate, is where everything's measured in increments of time and where we are and what we're doing and that kind of thing. And our productivity is measured by how plugged in we are. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is taking some deliberate time to unplug, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say more
on
that.
It could mean one of the things that I've heard a lot and seen a lot is that people feel like they're working even longer hours now that now that they're home. Mm. So, you know, making sure that, you know, you don't pick up the phone all the time, right? You know, I'm trying to not respond to emails immediately. That, you know, I'm trying to do it at the end of the day versus feeling like I have to respond all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And prioritize, you know, what's really important. I think the business owners have gotten there. Early on, I think there was so much confusion, and there was so many things that we all had to adjust to. Now that we've adjusted, I see a lot of them being able to slow down a little and not being so reactionary, but looking forward versus trying to figure out, I got to do it right now kind of
sure.
thing.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Now, one of the things you mentioned earlier was emotional intelligence and making sure that I've got a high, I guess they call it EQ, right?
Yes.
So how do I know if my emotional intelligence is up to snuff? Because it's easier for me to judge it as being, you know, pretty high, but it's not up to me to judge that, right?
Well, the assessments out there are self-assessments.
Mm.
They're also the one that I use, EQI, has a self-assessment as well as a 360 assessment. So you can get feedback from those around you as well as feedback from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the self-assessment is pretty accurate, and it basically measures those things that are internal to you, like self-management of emotions and self-awareness of emotions. And then it measures relationships and how you manage relationships and understand how you impact your emotions impact others. So it's taking that assessment or other assessments. There's another one out there called Emotional Intelligence 2.0, which is actually a book. And it gives you an online code that you can use to take an assessment. And then there, the great thing about EQ is you can build it. It's not like IQ. IQ you're born with, and you really can't improve it. So it's building a set of plans. You know, what is it that you really want to improve on? I'm working with a new coaching client, and she's got a couple of areas that are really low. And, you know, how do we help her to adjust that will make her a better leader?
So I guess what I was getting at there, and I understand self-assessments and assessment testing mm-hmm. and the value of that. Ultimately, my EQ is judged by the people I interact with, right? So, talk more about that, mm-hmm. about how, you know, you work with a client one-on-one, but how are they able to judge how their EQ is working when the rubber hits the road day to day with their folks?
Yeah. I mean, part of that is getting feedback, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that leaders have a difficult time with is they're great at giving feedback, but getting feedback is another story.
Mm.
And it's putting yourself out there and asking for feedback. In fact, I was coaching two people last week, and it was basically the leader and his direct report. And I asked him, I said, okay, so when was the last time you asked Lee for feedback? And he's like, well, probably never.
Wow.
I was like, well, okay, so let's try this right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea with feedback, when you ask for it, obviously you've got to be open to it and not get defensive and then do something with it. So as it relates to emotional intelligence, it's asking somebody some specific questions. You can't just go ask them, hey, how am I doing? I mean, that's just way too generic.
Mm.
It would be, how am I doing in supporting you? What could I be doing differently?
Mm-hmm.
The hows and the whats questions are the most powerful questions as it relates to getting information and getting people to self-reflect. The other questions I call are the recall questions. There's, who did what? When did it happen? Right? It's just recalling something versus the hows and the whats that will get people to slow down and really think about something.
Good words here from Beth Armconnect Miller. She's with Executive Velocity. Beth, talk a little bit about expanding leadership capacity. I know that's a topic that's near and dear to your heart and what you coach a lot of your clients on. Talk about what that means, first of all, because I think we make assumptions about maybe what that means and how you do it.
Well, it means different things to different people in different companies. So the first thing you need to understand is, what are the core leadership competencies of your organization? Because they can be different from one organization to another. So you got to get really clear on those core competencies. And then you have to have some way of measuring those against existing leaders. And that's generally done through a 360 assessment. So that 360 assessment then will identify gaps that your current leaders have in specific core competencies. Then the idea is to create a development plan. And generally those gaps are soft skills. They're generally not, accounting or engineering or something like that. They're things like communications. For instance, I'm working with one woman who needs help in adaptive communications. Another one is around like political savvy. How do you understand the organization as a whole, and what are the hot buttons for each division, and how can you help in those areas? It's change management. I mean, change is really I often find is a core competency for leaders, because change is constant, and you need to be able to help manage others through change, and manage yourself through change. There's that kind of lifelong learner. What are the things that you are doing to improve yourself? It's not just about the organization developing you, but what are those things that you're doing? The conflict management, another great one. So there are those soft skills that are generally the areas that I find myself helping leaders to kind of get to that next level in leadership.
What is the biggest misconception that you find about leadership when you take on clients, when they first come to you?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that one of the misconceptions is that leaders should have that kind of big personality. And, there are a lot of leaders out there that are very effective, who don't have that enthusiastic, rah-rah cheerleader kind of personality. Mm. they have their own style. So there's no one set style, no one set personality profile that makes a leader better than another. I think that would be the, because I do a lot of assessments and oftentimes, you know, the one assessment I use a lot is called Business DNA. They've got 10 style profiles, and nine times out of 10, when I'm doing a group assessment, the question will come up, well, is that style good for leadership? And I'm like, all styles are good for leadership. It's understanding your strengths and then building a team around you that helps you kind of bridge the gap with those challenges that you might have. So, you know, I, for instance, although I majored in finance, I haven't done finance in a long, long time. So I would consider that a gap. So I would want somebody who has that skill and also has maybe a different style. For instance, I'm very spontaneous. Well, I don't want a bunch of spontaneous people around me. I'd like some planned people as well. So it's understanding the fact that, you know, we are all different and leaders come in different packages.
So let's talk about hiring.
Okay.
You know, I'm a leader. I'm serious about being a good leader. I want to make the best hires possible. I've bought into what you teach about hiring for succession planning. How do you coach me through best hiring practices?
Well, the first thing is to, you know, go back to those, you know, core competencies, understanding what the core competencies are for that position specifically, and then build questions, behavioral questions, to those core competencies so that you can uncover whether or not that individual has demonstrated in the past that competency. So getting really a good grasp on behavioral interviewing skills is critical. The other is integrating an assessment of some sort that's validated. In fact, I'm just writing an article for my blog, and it's talking about the fact that, you know, there's Myers-Briggs out there and DISC that a lot of people use, but it's not validated for hiring. They're great for development and for team building. But if you're going to use an assessment for hiring purposes, make sure that it's validated for hiring, because you can actually get in trouble legally.
I'm sorry. Say more on that, because that sounds pretty important. What do you mean by validated for hiring?
So basically, there's no like regulatory organization out there that says these assessments are validated. Mm-hmm. Each vendor will have run scientific evidence showing that the assessment can predict success of a specific job. Okay. And that would mean it's validated. But a Myers-Briggs and DISC don't have that. So if you're using an assessment tool, ask the vendor, is this validated for hiring? That's, you can't go out to a website and, you know, find all the assessments out there and find out whether which one's validated or not.
Got it. So succession planning, I know this is a topic also near and dear to you and your work. Talk about some of the issues that you deal with there. We were talking about this before we came on. About how hard it is for small business owners to let go.
Yes. How
do you coach folks through that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is working with that business owner first to get him or her prepared for what life looks like after the business. And many of them have a hard time really drawing the picture. and the roadmap of where they will be after they sell their business or exit their business and, you know, sell to employees, whatever. So that's the first step. The next step is really getting a team, succession planning team together, and making sure that you have a business plan as well as an organizational chart, and identifying what does the organization need to look like to support your plan in the future. And then identify not the key people. Here's where businesses get a little confused. They look at their key people first. What they should be doing is taking the names off the organizational chart and just identifying what are the key positions. What are those positions that are critical to the future success of the organization? Yeah. Sometimes they'll find that there is some person down in the organization that holds the keys to, you know, some product, some technology, whatever. And that person's really key. It's not all these people at the high executive level. Mm. So it's understanding that, and then taking a look at the people that are in those key positions to determine, okay, do they need to have some development to be successful in that key position? Then it's looking at the entire talent pool, all your employees. Now, in a small company, that could be 50 employees, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to identify those potentials, those future leaders, who has potential to move up in the organization. And the other mistake I see businesses make is they get confused between high performers and high potentials. They're not the same. In fact, I read a article where it's like 1 out of 7 high performers actually show high potential attributes. So wow. you need to, as an organization, define what is high potential for your organization. And then you can chart where people are. There's a 9-box grid that's generally used in this exercise. We can chart where they are based on performance and potential. And then you've identified what kind of development they need based on where they are on the chart. Mm-hmm. And then you go through the traditional development. And the whole idea of succession planning is that the goal is to have the right people in the right seats at the right time, doing the right things.
Got it. Beth Armconnect Miller's terrific conversation here with her. She's the founder and CEO of Executive Velocity. So Beth, how does that engagement with you work? You know, somebody's interested in what you've talked about. How does that work? Do you do one-on-one only, or do you do group coaching? Just talk about the various ways you interact with clients.
Well, from a coaching perspective, it can be group or one-on-one. Generally, I'm often introduced to an organization because they've got an individual that a high potential that they want coached. And then when they find out the other things that I do, then it can grow from there. I've done leadership certification programs for companies where they're larger, where they want to grow their millennials into future leaders. And so, you know, there's certain skills and competencies that we identify that that they need to learn. Because they really, you know, they probably didn't have a business background. They didn't come from a business school, fairly new out of college. So it's getting some baseline business skills and leadership skills. And then as it relates to succession planning, generally I'm called in to do a an assessment of whether or not they're ready to start a succession plan. So I have an assessment that I go through with the leadership team to determine, you know, are there gaps that they need to fill before they actually take on the plan of creating and executing succession planning.
I would love it if you would share, of course, obviously you don't need to share names, but if you would share maybe a success story that you're particularly proud of, someone, a leader or an organization that you've worked with.
Yeah, one of them I'm particularly proud of that I've been working with for off and on for about 4 years. They called me in to initially to coach five or six leaders that were moving up in the organization. One of them in particular had some EQ issues, and she it was more self-management and managing emotions. And but at the same time, she was very goal oriented and was, you know, saw and wanted to progress. So she realized that this was holding her back. This was a derailer for her. And we worked on a number of issues. And a year later, she was promoted. And now, 4 years later, she reports directly to the CEO. So
wow.
It was, yeah, yeah.
That is awesome.
And she's one of, she calls me to develop some of her managers, leaders. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Terrific stuff from Beth Armconnect Miller. She's with Executive Velocity. Beth, this has been great. And let's get to the really important question, for which is, for those that have heard something that really lights them up and they think, I need Beth's help, we need to let them know how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah. So my website, which is executive-velocity.com, you can go to the resources page, and there you can contact me, or and or you can download. I've got a lot of free resources out on my website for hiring, leadership, and succession planning. And then you can look up on LinkedIn, Beth Armconnect Miller. I'm the only one out there.
Awesome stuff. Beth Armconnect Miller with Executive Velocity. Thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, John. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Folks, if you've got some problems that you need to get off your desk that involve administrative tasks, maybe your monthly accounting, you've got marketing that needs to be done, I've got an answer for you that involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. Now, Essie and her team have been virtual for 20 years, and so they know how to operate in today's environment. She's got a whole team of angels, and I know some of them, and they're terrific because I work with some of them. They are terrific, and what Essie does is match your problem with their talent, and they fly in, get the job done on an ongoing or as-needed basis, and they fly back out. And it's really simple. You just call her at 770-442-9246. Let her know I sent you. Or you can go to officeangels.us if you're shy, but just call her. She'll be glad to help you. And there's no problem she hasn't heard, so don't be shy about it. Give Essie a call at Office Angels. And folks, just another quick reminder as we wrap up here that you can listen to the show in all the major podcast apps. We are looking for you to please give us a review and give us a nice review, because it's not about us. It's about our guest and helping folks find these shows where they can connect with great folks like Beth who can help them. That's what that's about. So if you could do that, we'd really appreciate it. Again, the search term is North Fulton Business Radio on any of your favorite apps. Our show archive is northfultonbusinessradio.com, and you can find almost 300 shows there that we've had of great business leaders like Beth. And you can connect with us on social media, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. We're at North Fulton BRX. So for my guest, Beth Armconnect Miller, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.